Welcome to Literary Quest, a podcast hosted by us, Vicky and Marissa, where we discuss our favorite in fantasy fiction and hopefully can direct you in your quest to find your next great read.
Welcome to Literary Quest. Today, we're talking about Jennifer Armentrout's newest book in the From Blood and Ash universe, A Fire in the Flesh. This is a continuation of Sarah and Nikos' story. A little bit of some trigger warnings here. We are going to be discussing an abusive relationship, and there will be discussions about sex and most likely cursing in this episode. I will start with our characters, and Marissa will pick up with our plot. So we have our main female lead, Sarah. She was brought up from birth to be the bride of Nikdos and was supposed to kill him to end the rot ongoing in her country. However, she is also the reincarnation of Satoria and has the embers of both life and death in her. This wouldn't be as big of a deal if she wasn't mortal, but because she is, she will be unable to ascend without dying. Additionally, she has Satoria's soul inside of her, and if she dies, Satoria's soul basically dies too, and since Satoria is the only way to stop Colas, this is bad, and they need to get out the embers as well as her soul. So, she has two souls inside of her, one is hers, and one is Satoria's. Sarah is fierce and has strong convictions. She's described as having hair that looks like moonlight. Then we have our main male lead, Nikdos, or Ash. He's the primal of death, but not the true primal of death. He was supposed to be the primal of life, but his uncle, Colas, killed his father and took the power from him. Colas is now the false primal of life. However, Nikdos is still incredibly powerful. He cares greatly for his kingdom, his people, and his friends. In the previous book, we learned that he had his cardia removed so that he would be unable to love and therefore would not have a weakness that could kill him. Then we have Colas. He is the false primal of life. He killed Nikdos' father. And this was all because of Satoria. He saw her and fell in love. However, she ran from him and fell off a cliff. And then she kind of came back to life and she died again. And now her soul was reborn again into Sarah. So now Colas wants Sarah because he thinks she is actually Satoria. He is very toxic and abusive. He kills indiscriminately and rules over the other gods and primals. He's basically a tyrant. Since he is also the false primal of life, he can't ascend the chosen into godhood. However, he does ascend people in another way, which results in the Craven, as well as the ascended vampires. He's also able to make revenants. That brings us to Callum. He is Colas's first revenant. Something about him is different from the others, as he appears to have emotions. He's also a dick. Then we have Atys. He's the primal of War and Accord. He makes a couple appearances in this book and is pretty important to this book. And then for our locations, this mainly takes place in Dalos, Colas's kingdom, and there is some time spent in the Bone Lands.
So I'll take over with our plot. At the end of the last book, Sarah had basically been captured or kidnapped by Atys and taken to Colas, where she was caged. And Colas had started to feed on her and then realized that she was the reincarnated version of his beloved Satoria. And so as this book opens, Sarah is severely weakened and dying. And Nikdos, who is thoroughly pissed off, picks a big primal fight with Colas because he wants his wife back. It's super messy. And Atys prods Sarah into getting them to stop fighting because Colas is strong enough to actually kill Nikdos, which would be pretty bad. So she does interfere. However, Nikdos gets stabbed a lot by Colas and goes into stasis to heal himself and is also imprisoned by Colas in the Carcers, which is a mountain range nearby. So Colas takes Sarah to another primal to heal her. But it's really just a band-aid on her ascension, which is coming. And we're all still really worried about that, because if Nikdos isn't able to ascend her and like really love her when it happens, then she will die. And So Sarah doesn't die on that day. She lives and is kept like a pretty pet in Colas's cage of bones that are made from the ancients in this world. And Sarah does a lot of fretting and pacing, trying to convince Colas that she is actually Satoria so that she doesn't die. Because if he felt like or found out that she wasn't actually his Greka, his reincarnated or reborn lover, then she would die a really painful and terrible death, and so would everyone that she's ever known or loved. So she's playing the game, but trying not to completely lose herself in the process. And so she manages to negotiate a deal with Colas to free Nyctos. But gods are pretty tricky, and Colas is the best at manipulating and lying to people. So what will happen to our friends? Will Sarah survive her time with Colas? And what will happen to Nyctos? Spoilers abound. That was a really pared down description because
not a lot happened, though.
Yeah, there's not a lot to move the plot forward. There really was a lot of fretting and pacing before the last 100 or so pages where everything hits the fan. So,
yeah, I feel like that's a common thing that we say about her books.
I feel like it was worse in this one, though, you know, because there was. This was originally intended to be the last book.
Right, but then she had too much. She said there was too much.
Yeah. I'm very concerned about what the last book is actually going to be.
I know. It would be another thing, too, if there was, like, I know we got some reveals because of it, you know, but really, for the most part, we didn't get too many reveals, and I don't even feel like we got that many hints dropped during that, you know, like, there were a couple. No, there are a couple solid ones, but for the most part, I did not need to spend that long with Colas for, you know, the plot to move forward. I think they could have taken out a decent amount of it and instead just wrapped up the book.
I agree.
And the series, but I personally hope that she spends all of the next book with Nyctos and he just talks to her and says sexy things to her the whole time. I'd read that. I would be happy with that. If it's just a whole book of Nyctos being like, I love you. I've never wanted until you. Like, I'll read it. Just that's
great.
Long monologue of it. I'll read it.
Part of this may just be like a difference in the way that we enjoy storytelling, right? I really like when stories have, if it's going to be 600 pages long, quite a bit of action to them. To move, I feel like we need to make some progress. And I don't feel like there was a lot of action to this story. There were some shocking reveals, which is great. And some things that I did not expect. But it did feel like the bulk of the action happened in the last 100 pages. The first part of this book is a lot.
Yeah. Ash gets stabbed. Oh,
many times.
Yeah. Like, she describes it as like a squelching sound at some point. And that's a lot of stabbing.
I don't like it.
No. She's meanwhile half dead.
Yeah.
It
dying.
Seems like, yeah. And so she's like half dead. Yeah. And Atez, whatever his name is, he shows up and he's like, you gotta stop him. And she's like, you betrayed me. And he's like, no, not really.
Yeah.
He's a dual agent.
Yes. So what we had speculated was that that wolf was Nyctos at the end of the last book, and that we were correct, I think.
Yes.
We had also kind of hoped that he wouldn't, you know, jump straight in and start a war. And that's not what happened. He did jump straight in and nearly start a war. So because of Nyctos's injuries, he goes into stasis and then is imprisoned. And because Sarah is dying, Colas takes her to Phanos, who is, I don't remember the primal of something, but there's water.
I just, in my head, I was like, Poseidon.
Yep.
It's basically Poseidon.
Yep. And she basically, mermaids give their lives so that she can live. And they all die. And my note in my book was that I hope that she's worth all of these people who are dying for her, because at this point, a lot of people have died for her or because of her.
Yeah, and that scene was so sad too, because Thanos had said, like, you know what this means, right? And Kolos is obviously like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that they're all dead. The Siren, is that what they were called?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that race just went extinct. Like, that was because he took her around, like, he took her to his kingdom. Yeah. At least that's how I interpreted. I don't know.
Yeah. I didn't gather that they were extinct, but definitely everybody that helped her died. So that's a lot of people. She surfaces and there's just like bodies floating. That's pretty terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say it delays her death for a little bit.
Yeah. Well, Thanos is like, you know, this isn't going to solve everything. It's just kind of like puts a band-aid on it. So she's got some time until her ascension, which is important. We're at least buying her time, but at least she lives, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Kolos takes her back to his little castle and puts her in a cage, and she wakes up alarmed, and like the first thing she does is decide, well, okay, I gotta get out of here, and starts digging through trunks and finds a trunk full of used glass dildos.
Gosh,
what a terrible thing to find as soon as you wake up.
Morning, here are some glass dildos. Enjoy.
Yeah. But this scene is just so metal, I think, because she turns them in, she grabs one, breaks the end off, and turns it into a weapon. Callum comes to, I don't know, feed her or harass her or something. And her first action is to murder him with a glass dildo. And then runs through the castle, murdering other people with glass dildos. I just think that's so great. I love it. Anything is a weapon if you try hard enough.
Yep. I wonder. So she mentions like how she wants to kill Callum so badly, right? Mm-hmm. She's gotten to kill him a bunch of times. I wonder if that, she doesn't sound like it's super satisfying, but I feel like it would be satisfying to get to kill somebody that you hate over and over again.
Maybe satisfying in the moment, but they're gonna come back and inconvenience you again later on, so it would I think be really frustrating, because you know they're not down for the count, they're coming back.
I don't know. Callum had to regrow his dick.
Yeah,
that was entertaining.
It was great. I guess we're gonna see Addis develop as more of a character in this series. You know, he showed up a little bit as an untrustworthy character in the last book, definitely. And he's the one that orchestrated Sarah's kidnapping and then pushed her to stop the fight between Nyctos and Kolos. But he also showed up in her cage when she was being held by Kolos, and in his hawk form, and revealed that he's helped her before as a hawk. And he showed up in her cage this time to share his theories about Satoria's soul, and to share his role in helping Ethos, Nyctos's dad, put the embers of life into another being. And then he swears his loyalty, his fealty to Satoria, no, not to Satoria, to Sarah, really like the true primal of life, but to Sarah, and was apparently very involved in the handling of Satoria's soul before, and now again later in the story after Nyctos and Sarah have escaped. So I don't By the end of this book, I still wasn't totally sure what to make of his character. I don't find him altogether trustworthy. And I also think swearing your fealty to someone who's going to die pretty shortly isn't like a big investment or sacrifice. So I don't know.
There's a fan theory going around that Cass from in Blood and Ash, right, yeah, is at his,
yeah,
reborn or reincarnated. I don't know the difference.
Apparently there is one that makes no sense to me, but you know, tomato tomato.
Yeah. And I think that would be really interesting, although somebody countered it by saying, except he was flirting really heavily with somebody else at the end of the book. And also, that means he has to die?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm curious about that one. I think that that's a possibility.
I mean, Cass was pretty flirty.
Mm-hmm.
In From Blood and Ash.
Yeah, and
he's been fucking a maid, so
that's true. Yeah. And then, you know, he turns into a hawk. Cass's nickname is Hawk.
Right, yes.
Yeah.
His horse's name is Seti.
Oh.
Which is also Cass's horse's name.
Yeah, okay. All right, we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I think that's an interesting theory. I hadn't really thought about that or made that connection until you mentioned it. I think that's a pretty sound one. So, which just kind of lends itself to the idea that there's more going on between or in the past.
Mm-hmm.
There was more going on between Satoria and Addis than we maybe know about.
Mm-hmm.
Because it also seems like Satoria is Poppy reincarnated or reborn. Which, so we get to that part in the story where Colas has been calling Sarah Solas, his Solas, which means my soul. Mm-hmm. Which, side note, the From Blood and Ash series, the Kingdom of Macedonia, it takes place in the Kingdom of Solas.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought was an interesting, like, who named this kingdom?
Yeah.
Is there an overlap between, because, and this is what gets hard, all of the maps are different.
Are they?
The maps were From Blood and Ash, the kingdom, right? The names are not the same as what we're seeing in the Fire in the Flesh series, right? So in the first book, the map is of Lasagna. Hmm. In the second book, the map is of Elysium. In the third book, the map is of Elysium. So is Lasagna in the past the same thing as the Kingdom of Solas in the From Blood and Ash series, which we would call the present, I guess, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is there overlap in where those lands are? In the Fields of Sorrow, way, way back in the day, where Satoria lived and was born and died. Mm-hmm. Is there overlap in where all of these spaces are? I need a big map.
Yeah.
I'm having
and
hard
like time. An overlay too. Yeah.
I need like a bit I need a bigger map with pictures of where all of these places exist. But in the story, Sarah asks Addis what Satoria's name means, and he says it meant like a pretty flower, or more specifically like a pretty poppy, right? So we have Poppy in From Blood and Ash, and we also have that really weird nursery rhyme thing that gets sung to her by strangers who try to murder her. And from, like, what a pretty poppy, pick it and watch it bleed, or pick it and watch it die, or something. So it seems like Satoria is probably going to be Poppy reincarnated. There's also like the physical descriptions, right? So of Satoria having some vibrant red hair, which we know Poppy also has.
Yeah, and the fact that Sarah looks so much like Satoria, but just a little bit off, and then Poppy looks so much like Sarah, but just a little bit off, makes you think. And naturally, I hate this twist.
Yes.
naturally, and I feel so bad for Poppy for it, because she is just like learning who she is, you know? She's finally coming to terms with herself. And she was the maiden, then queen, and she's primal, right?
Yeah.
And so this is going to get thrown at her, you know? Right. Yeah, guess what? You're the reincarnation of Satoria.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
She's probably also an ancient, too.
Yep, throw that in there. I was just about to say, I didn't even get to the point about ancients, like, being able to remake and destroy realms, right? Before I saw that there was like an ancient thing, I highlighted it and was like, Poppy's totally an ancient. I just know it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so in this book, it says that ancients are the only ones who can like destroy and remake realms. And that's also said of Poppy in the most recent From Blood and Ash book, I think it was, War of Two Queens, that she could be the breaker of realms or something and then rebuild it. I don't know. Something like that, but she's an ancient and now she's all, and I just, Satoria was mortal. So that's the other thing I don't like. Satoria is mortal. She's reborn into a mortal body. And then is, you know, as we know, Poppy Ascend, like, does her thing.
Yeah.
But I kind of, she looks exactly like Satoria. I just don't totally understand that.
Yeah.
You know, like,
can we not just let this poor woman rest?
Yeah.
But it's also, just, I don't understand how she keeps getting pulled. Like, why does it have to be her? It's something to do with Colas. I find it all pretty confusing.
Yeah. And reincarnation. So that stuck me firmly in this series being my favorite out of the two.
Yeah.
Because this one is not. She just has two souls inside of her.
Yeah.
Which I much prefer.
Right. That also makes me feel really, I've really bad for Sarah too.
Yeah.
Sorry,
just, go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, she's just like a carrier, right? So she spent her whole life being told that she's not really important as a person, can't interact with people. Her mom wouldn't interact with her because she knew she was going to have to give her up, and also because she reminded her of her father. And then she got rejected by Nyctos. And then, I don't know, she's just spent her whole life being told that her existence doesn't matter. Basically, it's for this other supposedly higher purpose.
And on top of that, we've seen her, and she tries to go back to this too, be compared to or think of herself as a vessel. And that is kind of literally what she is, with Satoria's soul inside of her, right? Yeah. And everyone's like, it's the most important thing because that's what's going to, you know, defeat Colas. I felt so bad for her with that.
No.
But we did get to see her be like, fuck this.
Yeah.
At one point, you know. I feel like we see in a lot of these types of books the character pretty easily coming to terms with their sacrifice that they have to make.
Yeah.
You know, not fighting it too much. But I like being able to see Sarah. You know, she finally just started to feel feelings. And yeah, so I like seeing a character who just was like, fuck it.
Yeah, I think she does literally say like, fuck the greater good at one point.
Yeah,
I really like that. I also like that her partner tends to be supportive of those things. Like, she it's hard for her because she spent so much time not being known by anyone, and she finally found someone who she feels like sees her and genuinely wants to know her. And now she's having to try going back to not being that, to just being the thing that carries out their duty or whatever. And she doesn't want to do it anymore. She just wants to like spend time with her husband and have great sex and be known by someone. And that's terrible. And so I like seeing her have this attitude as well, where she says like, fuck the greater good. Because the greater good is thankless and terrible sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
That like sacrifice yourself for everybody else mentality, I don't like that. I think that I don't know if that's like rooted in Christianity, like Jesus sacrificing himself for everybody, or just the way that we like, especially in the United States, view attitudes about working, especially in healthcare. Yeah. The attitude that you have to sacrifice your own health for other people. Like working in healthcare, you're basically encouraged to be an emotionless robot. So I love, and this is what I go to therapy for, the idea of having a character who says, you know what? No, I don't want to be an emotionless robot anymore. I don't want to be just the thing that sacrifices for other people, because the other people don't know me and they don't care about me.
Yeah, and Nikto's support is just so nice to see, you know, saying she is important herself, which he's probably the only one who's told her that.
Yeah.
You know?
100%. She is never centered in any of these conversations.
Nope.
They literally say several times, like, Satori is more important. Like, why?
Yeah.
Why can't they both be important? Also, I feel like it would be hard to value yourself when nobody uses words around you that make you feel valued. And that's what's so great about Nikto. So he is the opposite of this. With everything that she does, he's like, I really don't think you should do that, actually. You don't have to. And I don't think that you should. You should take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care about them.
I loved that. I loved that so much. He was on board with her, just like, fuck the greater good too.
Yeah.
It was great.
I really enjoy how much Colas struggles with reconciling Sarah as being Satoria. Because he struggles so much, and I think it's really funny. His reactions to her, like, he wants so bad for her to be Satoria. And he's like, I love you, even though this shell that you're in right now is pretty rude and callous and curses too much and blonde. You used to have such nice red hair.
Wine red hair.
Yes.
I think we'll have to do something about that. What?
Yeah.
Dye
at one point, I think he says at one point, like, I wish you were how you were before.
Yeah, and then he's like, I'm not saying you're unattractive.
Yeah. Oh, and then he's like, oh, was that offensive? This man has zero riz. Like, he does not. He's the worst.
He is absolutely terrible. I'm curious, because it is brought up several times that Sarah is more confident, outgoing, as he likes to say rude, whatever, and curses. Poppy's similar to her, though.
Yeah.
In that sense. So it'll be interesting to see in the next book how Colas reacts to Poppy.
Right.
It made me think that maybe Satoria is like in there, sort of. So she says, this is kind of towards the end, but whatever. We'll meet again.
Yeah.
Right. And I don't know. In my head, I just imagine that like Satoria was like, my soul is being reborn and I'm going to be more assertive, like I learned from Sarah when I was inside of her. I just like that idea in my head.
Yeah.
That's why Poppy's like that. That's my rationale.
Maybe so. There. So I was looking back, trying to make any connections to the From Blood and Ash series. And I think it's, oh gosh, how many books are there in that series now? It's the third one. The Crown of Gilded Bones, I think, where they travel to wherever Nykthos is sleeping.
Oh, right. Okay. Yep.
Yeah. And she meets him and is just like super assertive and stuff. And he's like, gosh, he's talking about Sarah. He's like, she's going to love this. I can't wait to tell her. So, yeah. I don't know. Maybe Satoria wasn't empowered to be a strong, like, person or personality.
Mm-hmm.
However many hundreds of years ago when everything first started, and now she is.
So I don't know if this was an inside joke or like maybe a joke in one of the reader groups or something, but at some point there's a character named Craig that gets introduced, and they make it a point to say Craig with a K, which was funny, but I don't know if I missed something. Was this a character before? Is this a joke that I'm not aware of? Like, I don't know.
I did not pay any attention to this at all. So I have
You didn't see Craig with a K?
Yeah, I super wasn't paying attention to whatever. I'm looking it up right now.
I just remember highlighting it, making a note. I feel like something sort of like in her reader group, people made jokes about like Cass and then Casserole, and she worked it into one of the books.
Yeah.
Makes me think that I missed something in the reader group about Craig with a K.
Yeah. Cullis was a trip, wasn't he?
Oh, God. That was like, my note on that was like, he's a mind fuck. What the hell?
Yeah. I'm not really even sure what to make of him. This is why I think she did such a good job writing him. He is terrible.
Yes.
Literally the worst, but I still somehow almost felt a little bit bad for him.
Yes, I know. So, she did a really good job of that. I made note of that too, saying like he's such a complex character. And, so we have him literally abusing Sarah and saying things like, this is your fault. You made me do this. Right. You made me punish you, whatever. And then we have him crying as well about it. And we learn that he didn't believe, because this is what got me to be like, wow, like this character. He didn't believe that his brother still loved him.
Mm-hmm.
So when he stabbed him, or he didn't expect his brother to die, but he did.
Yeah.
So I just feel like he doesn't feel he's worthy of love, which, I mean, he's kind of awful. And he like killed, Nykthos's mom while she was pregnant with Nykthos. So like, I mean, I get why he wouldn't feel like he's worthy of love.
Yeah.
You know, I get it.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Yeah.
He's terrible.
He is terrible. And he apparently completely misses the whole, like, Satoria probably doesn't like him thing, considering she literally ran off a cliff to avoid him and then ran away from him a whole bunch once he brought her back to life, too.
Yeah.
Like, get the hint.
Yeah. That obsessive love kind of.
Yeah.
Overshadows reason.
Mm-hmm.
He was just so odd. I mean, he was really just a strange character. Watching the mental gymnastics that he did in his interactions with his subjects, I guess, that always put him in the role of the victim, and how he never took any accountability for anything. It was wild. to see the logic that he used to get to those end points. Like, oh, and the way that he manipulated other people as well to kind of get his own thing, like get back at them for perceived wrongs, right? So he dresses Sarah in sheer clothing and then punishes people who enjoy looking at her, quote, too much, but only if they're not kin, who literally voices wanting to violently sexually abuse her.
Mm-hmm.
So he was holding court. These two men were fighting in front of him. One guy has a problem because the other guy called him a cheater. And that somehow shows them being disloyal to Colas. So he jumped through some mental hoops to decide that this guy needed to die. And then he manipulates Sarah into killing Evander, one of his subjects, who is feeding from a chosen person and doing it in a way that is painful. But he manipulates Sarah into killing him by saying the right words to make her think that this female is being harmed, and then pushes her basically into killing him.
Mm-hmm.
But this person, Evander, was also a god who served Keela, another primal, and Keela had questioned him about Sarah being present as she is Nyctos' consort. But she did it in front of everybody. And so this is like his roundabout way of getting back at Keela for questioning him. Like the way that he manipulated situations to serve him, it was wild.
It was. And it was impressive, which is why I don't understand why he is so easy to manipulate.
Yeah.
Sarah is fantastic. She was so obvious with her manipulations.
Yeah.
You know, like, she doesn't have thousands of years to practice how to manipulate people. But he's just like, sure, that sounds great. I totally believe you. Like, so, you know, we find out about the diamond.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we're going to try to put the embers in her soul and everything, and Storia's soul, right?
Mm-hmm.
And her response, like, so he's like, what can I do to make it up to you? Or whatever slight he had done to her, whatever, like, you know, terrible mm-hmm. thing he had just done to her. And she goes, despite never showing like any interest in this before or anything like that, they're like, oh, there's this diamond.
Yeah.
It's like, okay. And he's just, I'll get it for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then, is it real? Is it all an act? Or is it just that he wants so badly for her right. to be Satoria that he is just like turning a blind eye to all of this stuff?
Yeah.
Because he says he knows when she's lying, he can feel it. So.
Yeah. That was like a pretty massive lie, because she said, oh, you know, my mom had it.
Mm-hmm.
He just, I guess, overlooks it for.
Maybe.
For you.
Maybe, or maybe it's part of some much larger subplot. Who knows?
Yeah. Oh, that scene with Evander, right? Mm-hmm. Like you were referencing before. That was just terrible.
Yeah, it was. I felt like, honestly, Colas kind of proved a good point there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got pissed off because I don't want him to have any good points. But she did just kind of make assumptions because he led her to them.
I feel like she has some, like, responsibility in this just because she walked up to a guy and killed him.
Yeah.
And didn't ask any other questions.
Yeah.
So, definitely, you know, he obviously manipulated her, but a little bit where, you know, maybe talk to somebody before you kill them.
Right. Maybe ask some questions like, excuse me, ma'am, I noticed that this person was sucking blood from you. Are you enjoying this?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Continue. Like, it's a hard situation. She's got herself spread pretty thin here. You know, there's a lot going on. She's lying through her teeth about being Satoria and really just trying to stay alive and not piss off Colas too bad, you know, while also figuring out how she can get Nyctos free. So I get, like, decision-making abilities are a little bit impaired. But it was pretty bad. She stabs the guy. The girl he was, I guess, with.
Mm-hmm.
Starts screaming. Keela's horrified. Everybody's horrified. Well, not everybody. A lot of folks are horrified, though. And she, Sarah in particular, is really horrified. So,
oh.
In that scene, Vessis also shows up.
Yep.
She literally chewed through her arms to get free from her shackles in Nyctos's dungeon.
That's pretty metal.
That's, how do you get through the bow? How do you, maybe she has really strong teeth because she's a primal. I don't know. How did you chew through your arm bones, like your radius, your ulna? Well, okay, whatever. Okay, whatever. Yeek.
Yep. She shows up and is in love with Colas.
Yeah.
Like. And Colas is about to just throw her to all the other gods to rape her.
Yeah. And Sarah sticks up for her, even though she hates her. And it's like, nope, I just don't really want to see you be raped.
Mm-hmm.
And Vessis is like, don't stick up for me. Yeah.
She's somebody I'm looking forward to being killed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's intense. What? And this is another scene where Ken comes in. Ken is Addis's brother. They're twins. Why is Ken so terrible? Like, what is his fucking problem?
I don't know. Especially because, like, I feel like Addis should have more of a problem when, you know, his family was slaughtered.
Yeah.
Including his kids. I don't know what happened to Ken that made him so terrible. I just feel like most of these, oh well, you know what, he said that he didn't sleep right. Addis does go into that whole speech about how sleeping can sometimes like reset them, and it's always a constant battle with the other half of themselves.
Yeah, part of what they think is going on with Colas too, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just been a long time since our dude took a nap.
Mm-hmm.
I personally know how unhappy I am when I haven't had good quality sleep. So,
yep.
I don't like, is it FOMO? Is that why no one wants to go to sleep? Everybody's got FOMO. They don't know what's going to happen while they're out. I don't understand.
I don't know. I do know I had made a note at some point saying, oh, maybe, actually, at that point, was that part of it where I put, oh, maybe. Well, this, you know, he just went to sleep and he's been sleeping now for however many years it's been between this book and Poppy's time.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought maybe he'll come out of it all not evil, right?
Yeah.
And but then a little bit later on in the book, it goes, if anything, it would make it worse. I was like, no. There goes my theory.
Yeah. Because Sarah sticks up for Vessis not being gang raped. She gets punished.
Yeah. And he also gets punished for using ether at that time too. Like he felt.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't, why does he not want her to use the ether? He tells her several times. I'm not really sure the reason for why. If he's afraid of her overpowering him or
afraid it'll speed along her death, maybe.
So he says those are not yours to use.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a temptation to him when she uses them? Or is it like her using them, throwing it in his face that he like wants them and can't get them because he'll have to kill her?
Mm.
So it's a reminder, maybe. I don't know. But yeah, he nags her several times about it. Then he punishes her. She's in terrible pain. He's like, you made me do this. And he starts crying. Nothing is ever his fault.
No.
At one point, she does something to piss him off and he like feeds from her. And then he takes a lot of pleasure from it and like ejaculates on her.
Mm-hmm.
And that's terrible.
Yep.
But that's also her fault.
Of course.
It's all her fault. I don't know. Their interactions were really interesting. I was super afraid for most of the book that we were going to end up with a scene with Sarah being raped, and I'm so glad we did not get that.
I know. And it was for at least 50% of the book where I was waiting for it. So that's not a great way to spend your time. But it was also interesting that when he said he wants to share a bed, they literally only shared a bed. And he mentioned that he's been loyal to Satoria for, what, 500 years, if not more, however long it's been. And I, good on him for not raping her, I guess, in light of that.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's bare minimum. So,
right.
And that's one of the things that made me so nervous. I'm sorry, that's what I should go back to. That's one of the things that made me so nervous about it.
Yeah.
Was because of all of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Oh, and then he shames Sarah for having had sex with other people.
Yeah, that's right. There was slut shaming too.
Yeah. I do think it's interesting that he just wants to like be next to her. I guess in part because she talks about like wanting to. So this is how she convinces him, right? She talks about wanting to build a relationship and to be loved. And so taking things slow and things like that. So maybe that's just part of it. Maybe part of it is being touch starved. If he's not been with other people for hundreds of years. Maybe it's just him wanting to feel some level of intimacy with her.
Yeah. It makes me really curious how he's going to react to seeing Poppy.
Yeah. I'm excited to see how that goes too, because Callum makes comments. So let's talk about Callum a little bit. In The War of Two Queens at the very end, he makes comments about how Poppy is like the sacrifice, right? Well, if Poppy is Satoria reincarnated, again, he's not going to want to kill her.
Right. Oh, did we talk about that Callum is...
No, that was one of our big reveals in the story, right? So we find out that Callum was Satoria's brother.
And he killed himself.
Yes.
And became the first revenant.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he takes all of the weight for Satoria's death. He says that Colas forgave him and turned him into a revenant for failing to save Satoria the first time. He says that he should have warned Satoria because he knew how skittish she was and how easily surprised she was. So he should have warned Satoria or she wouldn't have run off a cliff.
Yeah.
What?
Why is everyone so obsessed with her? She ran off a cliff.
To escape him. That's not surprise. So he takes responsibility for her death. And then does it again. He fails her a second time when she dies the second time. This is also another big reveal. We assume that Colas is the one that killed her the second time, but we find out that Ethos is actually the one that killed Satoria after Colas somehow resurrected her. So what was that? Like, we don't get any answers for that. Is it like a mercy killing or?
Colas mentioned several times about how she was skittish and always running away.
Was she skittish or was she just not wanting to be around him?
Right. There's a difference.
It's not the same. It's been based on the mental jumps that Colas makes about everybody else in his life. I can see how he would think someone literally running away from him would be just, you know, they're just skittish.
He's delusional.
Oh yes. Certainly.
Is he a narcissist? I feel like he's a narcissist. Is this one of the
I don't
know. I don't know anymore.
I don't, it's like with the word ironic, I don't know what it means anymore because people throw it around all the time.
Yeah.
I don't think it's like the is it the Princess Bride? I don't think that means what you think that means.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Keep using that word. I do not think it means what you think it means.
Yeah, so I don't know if he's a narcissist or not. I it sounds like he might be like a sociopath.
Yeah.
We do eventually find out that Colas is, you know, the primal of true, like, actual death. And he cannot be killed. I'm not totally sure why he can't be killed. Is it because if he dies, it will upset the balance of the entire world and everything will be destroyed
Yeah.
and fall apart? Is that why he cannot actually be killed?
Yeah, that's, yeah, some, yeah. I guess because death is no longer around if he's the true. I don't know what, sorry.
I don't understand why someone wouldn't just take his place. Like, Bell became a primal and
yeah.
Ur ascended. Or, like, why wouldn't someone just ascend and take his place? Does it have to, is this one of those, like, bloodline types of things? Like, it has to be passed down? I don't quite understand. Maybe someone can educate us.
Yeah.
But we learn that he cannot be killed, which is really problematic because Sarah was really banking on that.
That was what so much of the book was, I thought, was leading up to. How do I kill him? How do I kill him? Gotta kill him.
Like, her whole purpose in life up to this point has been to kill somebody that's a primal. So,
JK, LOL.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's problematic.
Yeah.
So we have new problems to grapple with. And then I forget what leads up to this, but we finally get to the point where Colas is basically about to rape Sarah. And she decides, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to use these embers of life that are inside of me because I'm not doing this. And she uses the ether to release Ash from his imprisonment in the carcers. She uses it to overpower Colas, and she, like, beats the shit out of him.
Yes.
It's so good.
Yep. I love, she writes up some of the best, like, death scenes. I guess this isn't really a death, but, you know, it's still really satisfying.
Violence, yes. It's massive violence.
Yeah, is it just that we really like violence, or
no? I think she is really good at it. But also, this character has it coming.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So it's justice. We like justice.
Mm-hmm. Good twist.
Much better than we like violence.
It does sound much better.
Yeah,
justice.
But this scene was, like, so metal. She destroys her cage.
Mm-hmm.
She grabs one of the bones that made up the cage and just, like, stabs the hell out of him. He doesn't die.
Mm-hmm.
But he's incapacitated for sure. And Nyctos gets freed, and she's, like, you know, on the verge of death now because she used these embers and has spread up her ascension. And so she, like, does this soul leaves body type of thing where she can, like, she sends her being out to find him, and she sees his, like, wholesale slaughter of all of these people that are getting in his way, like, even people that are surrendering. He's like, where's Sarah?
Mm-hmm.
Just murdering the hell out of everybody until he finally gets to her, and he, like, he's got a hold, like, he's holding her, and he's like, Liessa, I have you in my heart. Like, finally they've been reunited. And she's the one that saved him.
Yep. I adore Nyctos so much.
He's great.
I really do. He is fantastic. He just, like, tore people's throats out. He tore someone's spine, like, from the, like, top, it sounded like he tore their spine out of their body after decapitating them, which, brilliant.
Yep.
Yeah.
I feel like we saw Castiel do that, or maybe it was one of our other male main characters. We definitely heard of the spine being ripped out of a body before. I just can't remember if it's this world.
I think Castiel did it.
It seems right.
Yeah, it seems like something he would do.
Yeah.
But yes, and then he gets there, he finds her, and yay, they're together. And Elias,
yeah,
been her, one of her guards, is just, I'll take care of Colas for you guys, right?
Yes, yeah. So he swears his loyalty to the Primal of Life as well. He's one of Attis's plants, I guess. But like, and Attis shows up. He's like, and so does Nectis. Like the cavalry arrives, right?
Yes.
And they're like, all right, we have to make some plans because Colas is gonna start to reassemble himself at some point, and we need to prepare for that. And so Elias is like, I'll take care of it. But we don't ever find out what that means.
Yep.
Like, what does that mean? Are we gonna like wrap him up in some ancient bones so he can't get free?
Mm-hmm.
Are we gonna hide him? Are we gonna continue to keep him incapacitated? We don't ever really find out what that means. And I don't like that.
Before any of this happens, they show up in each other's dreams, right?
Oh, yeah.
Super sweet.
Sarah and Nyctos.
Yeah, sorry. Sarah and Nyctos. They show up in each other's dreams. And gosh, like glaring lights being like, these are clearly not dreams. Something's happening here. But they're both in dreams saying, this is my dream.
Yeah.
So, like, come on, guys.
Make the connections.
So close.
Well, and I think Nyctos realizes that in the second.
Yeah.
Second dream, he's like, tell Colas, blah, 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 right?
Yeah, at some
Sarah
point.
Sarah is still like, well, this is just a weird dream.
Yeah.
This feels so real. We also have a scene before we get to this as well where Colas shows Sarah how he ascends people and basically turns them into vampires because he has to maintain the balance. So since Ethos, his brother, who was the true primal of life, died, he's not able to ascend the Ethos ascended people into the like the chosen into gods, I think. Mm-hmm. Right? Is that I think that's how that worked.
I agree. I think so.
And so because Colas is not the true primal of life, he can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But life still has to be created, I guess, to maintain this balance that he's talking about. So he turns people into vampires.
Mm-hmm. And that's where all this starts from then, and from Blood and Ash, it's kind of where we pick up, right?
Yes, yeah. So I went back to try to make sense of this because of how this or why this is happening in the From Blood and Ash series. Did they stop making ascended vampires at some point between the events that are happening in this series and From Blood and Ash? Because I feel like the next time we see that being talked about, it's with Malik turning Isbeth into a vampire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not clear.
Yeah.
I'm not clear on how so much of this works.
Yeah, I want to start making more connections because I feel like this is where we're leading, right? Eventually, Sarah and Nyctos are going to show up in the From Blood and Ash world.
Yeah.
Like, really show up. So I don't understand. I don't know if they stopped making the Ascended at some point. Did they kill all of the ones that Colas has created? How is this working?
Go ahead.
No, what were you going to say?
I was going to bring up the pregnant trope, but I don't know.
Yeah, let's talk about it. First of all, nothing against this series. I hate the pregnancy trope.
Yep.
Hate it. Women always get pregnant at the most inconvenient times in these stories.
Mm-hmm.
Like, must we?
It reminds me of, did you ever watch 30 Rock?
No.
Okay. So Tina Fey is a comedy writer in it for a show. And one of the sketches that she like routinely writes is apparently just women getting their periods and going, ow, I got my period, and falls over.
Ah!
Like, constantly.
Terrible.
And it just kind of reminds me of those. Like, one of them is Wonder Woman flying, right? Her thing, and then she just gets her period and falls down. It just
Yeah.
Some of those vibes, just super inconvenient timing. I picture it being like, ah, I'm pregnant.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, it is never a great time.
No.
In any of these stories. But especially right now where she's being held captive and she has to be pregnant. She makes a comment where she's like, gosh, I don't remember the last time I had my period. Well, all right. She's pregnant.
Yep. And then she throws up.
She's tired.
She's tired. She's emotional.
What's going on? Mm-hmm. We never talk about having a period again, but obviously she's pregnant.
Mm-hmm. I bet Nyctos is going to be so happy. Probably I do look forward to that reveal because he's just so cute.
He is. But I do feel like with all of these people who are super magical and stuff, shouldn't one of them be able to know if she's like suddenly got more than one heartbeat?
Well, I'm wondering if it's all weird in there because she also has an extra soul. So
nobody can tell what's happening inside of her.
Yeah.
There's also no way an actual fetus would have survived the amount of trauma that she's experienced up to this point. And given what we know about how stress affects and turmoil affects a fetus, like fucking yikes, this kid is going to need therapy as soon as it leaves
the womb. It really is.
But also, it definitely seems like she's pregnant. Mm-hmm. After she goes through her ascension, she goes, like, she's in her mind at her lake. Mm-hmm. And she talks about seeing the cat, right? So what we assume is going to be a cave cat. It has fur the color of moonlight, which is like her hair. And it has green eyes, which is like her. And she says she's looking at it and she's seeing herself back. So obviously the cave cat is something that she can change into or is like her notum or whatever. But she also says that she can see two shadows that are moving that are smaller and have darker coats. And so I think that probably has to be like Malik and Iris, her kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what I thought too.
I love it when Nyctos and Sarah finally do get back together. Mm-hmm. He takes her to this like cavern with like a hot spring and they just like take a bath together and it's not really sexual. It's just them caring for each other, mm-hmm. which is really nice.
Yep.
I love that it doesn't immediately go to them having sex.
Me too. Yeah, he just wants to take care of her and this is where he like finally figures out that they love each other, you know, his mm-hmm. cardia grew back. That was a big thing.
Yeah. So like the last 100 pages of this book, that's where the bulk of our action I feel like is. They get reunited. They go to Keela's kingdom. She helps them free Ash's father's soul, which was trapped in the star diamond that Colas had, mm-hmm. which is a big thing because I didn't know what happened to it after he died. So it was in this diamond the whole time. They free Ethos's soul with nice moment of resolution with Nyctos and his father. They pull Satoria's soul out of Sarah's body and put it into the diamond until they can figure out what to do with it and reintroduce it into like the world, I guess. And we have this really like heartwarming moment where Sarah sees like Rain and all of Nyctos's like subjects/friends again. And he like actually claims them as being his friends, which is a big moment for him because he hasn't up until that point because he's primal of death and serious and sad and he doesn't have friends.
Right. Of course.
And oh yeah. Yeah. Nope. No friends for him. Which gives her some comfort because she is planning to die.
Yep.
And she finally like she gets to the point where she asks him to take her to her lake so that she can begin her ascension and do what she thinks is going to happen, which is die. And his friends Rain, who she saved, and all of the other ones, they like cut themselves on their sword and kneel in front of her and do this like big pledging of loyalty and stuff to her. And it like made me emotional.
Mm-hmm. I almost cried during this whole scene.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, when this is what was really frustrating, like she was great this whole freaking time. And this is what we complained about them in the last book. Like she was just trying to do what she thought was best.
Mm-hmm.
And they were awful dickheads to her.
Yep.
And now they're finally realizing that she's great and they're pledging their loyalty. But I'm almost like, it's too little too late. But it was a really touching scene at the same time.
It was. Okay, so then that brings us to the moment of her ascension.
Yeah.
Right? So it's so stressful.
Yeah.
And sad. And so just a couple things that stood out to me. Nikto's saying something like, how could this not be love?
Right?
He's just not putting things together. Was that about that scene? It was not important, I think. But anyway. But there's this one part, so he's feeding on her, right?
Mm-hmm.
And her hand slips. She had like wanted to keep it on his chest by his mm-hmm. heart. And he, I guess, picks up on it and puts her hand back there. And I was just, oh,
precious.
So precious. And then of course he stops and goes, yeah, I'm not letting you die.
Yeah.
Because he saw in a dream one time, mm-hmm. maybe, this happening, basically. And that afterwards, he just destroys everything, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's why he had his cardia removed, because he thought that would avoid that. Didn't work, clearly.
No.
But, and this is one moment that I absolutely love, because a lot of time we have morally gray love interests, right? Who say things like, I'd let the world burn for you. He was like, I'm taking a chance. You might still die and your living might mean the end of the world, but I don't care. Yeah. So I loved seeing a character actually follow through, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. I really appreciated that as well. I loved this scene.
Yep.
It's like 1,000% hotter when the main male character actually like follows through on his plans to commit potentially world-ending behaviors for the person that he loves. Like, it's one thing to say it, but to actually do it, oh my gosh.
He says, I will ruin the realms if I lose you. If you die, there is no hope for them, any of them, innocent or evil, god or mortal. I will destroy them all.
Oof. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It's great. He also says, fuck the greater good.
He does. Yep.
And he says, I'm not a good person. We are not good people, but we can be good together. Mm-hmm. But I cannot be good if you are not here.
Yeah.
So sweet.
I know. That's why I would read a book of just Ash talking.
Yes.
Her Nikto's talking. I just, every word out of his mouth.
So good.
Been, yep.
Yeah.
I highlighted a lot of his dialogue.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. He's probably the best.
Mm-hmm.
I also like that we get, so he ascends her.
Mm-hmm.
And we get like parallel moments between this story and the one that just came out, A Soul of Ash and Blood.
Yeah. The one from
Cass's perspective, right?
Yes.
Where Poppy's ascended and we have Cass talking to Poppy.
Mm-hmm.
We don't get anything from Poppy's perspective. We get a little bit of a flip in this where we have Sarah's perspective and she can hear people talking to her. And it's the same thing that's happening to Poppy in the other book, but just from the person who's been ascended, their perspective.
Yeah.
I
also really like that. And it makes me wonder, so while we're in Sarah's head and stuff, she has some revelations that happen. I think she says something about her being the beginning and the end or something like that. I highlighted it. I don't remember exactly. And so I'm wondering if Poppy had any like realizations while she was under that we'll find out about.
Sarah wakes up. They have a lot of sex at the end of the book.
Mm-hmm.
And I really never thought I would feel this way, but I totally could have done without it. Like, it was fine. I really they had a sex scene in a dream sequence where mm-hmm. they're at her lake earlier in the book. And that was great. And I loved it. But we're past like page 500. There's like 100 pages left in the story. We're past that point. And she wakes up from her ascension and they just have like marathon sex. Like, it. And it's fine. But at this point, I'm just like, where's the resolution? I'm ready to wrap things up. I have moved on from wanting sex from this story. Like, I need some answers.
Yes, I agree. And I also highlighted some of it saying we were able to get all of this, all of these details and stuff about his cold hands and whatever. But the joining.
Yeah, we're still upset about the joining.
I'm still upset about the joining. It was like a paragraph.
Very ambiguous details.
So she can clearly write well detailed sex scenes. She didn't give it to us.
No. That position must be so hard to be in as an author when you know you're writing something that could potentially be very alarming.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, I guess finding the balance is hard. I personally would rather the author just go all in.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, if you're going to make your characters polyamorous, really commit to it. Let's move on from the mononormative narrative. Lean in.
Yeah. I want. Okay. Well, that's a whole other topic. I just want it so bad.
Yeah. We have like a king and a queen.
Yes, I thought that was so cute. Oh, when she's like, what does that mean? And he goes, it means the king is gonna fuck his queen. Oh, Nyctos.
I know.
So the fates know a lot of things, right?
Yeah.
Are they the ones who's deciding when to bring Storia back? Who is making this decision? Because
it doesn't seem like it.
It's not the fates, but Storia just so happens to be resurrected a long time when, like, Cass, her heartmate, is also living. I was wondering if the fates were involved in that. Because that's a pretty big coincidence.
Yeah, so I don't know, right? Because they make a big point in this story of talking about how the fates don't enjoy it when you mess around with their plans. And Satoria's already been reintroduced to this life like way more times than she was supposed to have been.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a tendency to interfere with stuff when you mess with the fates. So I don't know. I don't know if it's the fates or if someone was like, oh, let's do like. And how does this even work? But like, let's do Satoria and Addis at the same time, if that's how this is meant to work. And the fates are like, let's sprinkle some chaos in here somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Let's add a third. Maybe that's what Kieran is.
Mm. Maybe.
Oh.
Let's see.
But with that, it also makes me wonder, like, are the fates pissed off and going to kill some of our friends? Is that what's going to happen?
As long as they don't kill any of the main characters. I can live with it. Nyctos collects her hair ties.
Yeah.
Which is so sweet, but it's such a cat-like thing to do. The same time, he went on a long speech and he ends it with, you're my first Sarah and you will be my last.
Mm-hmm.
They love each other so much.
So much. That's why it's... Like, just so shocking to me that he, like, really sticks with this I can't love anybody thing for so long. Like, my dude. And even Colas is like, I have a hard time believing that he doesn't love you.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And he even says, how can this not be love?
Yeah.
Oh, there was just this one funny part that happened. So after Sarah ascends and everything, she comes back and she has anxiety. And she says, I'd survived the impossible, ascending into the true primal of life, and I still had crushing anxiety. Even primals need therapy.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, okay. So I went back and looked in the Crown of Gilded Bones because it has been a very long time, and also the War of Two Queens. So because I forgot most of what happened in the War of Two Queens, they go to wherever Nyctos is being like kept or whatever, right? When he went to sleep, and Poppy has a conversation with Nyctos, and he says that the primals of his day, I guess, they became tainted and twisted, corrupt and uncontrollable, and we had to stop them. And we did, but not before we ended the mortal lands, as those who survived remembered, sending them into the dark ages that it took centuries to claw out of. So what I'm wondering is, in the next book in this series, are we going to look at like a hard reset for the whole world? Is that what we have on deck?
Yeah. I know. That's a good theory.
Because it seems like big war is coming, right?
Yeah.
What's his name? Colas obviously is not going to stay down forever. We have no idea where he is, but he starts to like wake up or something at some point, or the other primals find out about Colas, who support him, and get big mad. So it looks like a war is probably coming. Is this right here that I just read off, is this what Nyctos is referring to? Like, we get a hard reset, everybody goes to sleep, we'll try again in 1,000 years.
I think so. I think that would make sense.
Yeah.
I think you're right on with that.
Alrighty. You want to share your favorite quote?
Sure. So I have, darkness always gave way to light if given time. And while some heartbreaks may never completely heal, living allowed there to be space for new sources of happiness and pleasure. I always love the dark to light comparisons.
Yeah. So my favorite quote is said by Nyctos to Sarah. He says, the lives of millions of mortals, nor those of the gods, do not surpass yours. The realms can rot into the abyss, and all life can cease. I don't care, as long as you are beside me.
Everything he says
is perfect.
Is absolutely perfect.
It's the best.
It really is. He does the best words.
So good at it. I just love it. He's the only person who like prioritizes Sarah. Sarah doesn't even prioritize Sarah. Alrighty, that wraps up A Fire in the Flesh by Jennifer L. Armentrout. For our next episode, we'll be discussing Iron Flame by Rebecca Yarros. Highly anticipated. Very excited about it. We hope you join us. Thanks for listening. Thank you for listening to Literary Quest. We hope you enjoyed our episode. If you'd like to follow us on social media, we can be found at Literary Quest Podcast on Instagram or Facebook. You're also welcome to share your thoughts and ideas with us via email at literaryquestpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks again.